Morning, if you do, you want to hold it up in there and just say, I'm thanking God for my Bible. Is that a good thing to have in your hand? Can you imagine going through a service and not having a Bible to check the references of the man that was speaking? Never forget, it's been some years ago now, but we were on vacation somewhere, and I happened to turn on TBN or something like that, and Joel Osteen was preaching. Now, my first name is Joel, but I am no relation to the Osteens. I can tell you that right now. And as he was preaching, we watched the entire service, all right, the entire service. And at the end, I asked my children, did you notice anything? What did you notice? And a couple of my children said, Dad, nobody had their Bible open while he was preaching. You know, when you go to church, you ought to hear from God's Word, not just from a man's opinion. And I appreciate you having your Bible this morning. So good to be here at Old Pass Baptist Church, have my son, daughter with me today. Acts chapter 20, the Bible speaking in verse number 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Lord, thank you for your Bible. Help us, Lord, now to see what we need to see in it in this family school time. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in verse number 7, the Bible says in the first day of the week when the disciples came together. And the first day of the week, that's Sunday. And what we do is we worship the Lord on Sunday. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Sunday. He appeared to his disciples on Sunday. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, they received a collection on the first day of the week. And I know there are people that would debate that with you, but there's no debating in my mind. I think the first day of the week is the right day of the week to gather together. It's the Lord's Day. And I know people have different opinions. Midweek services, we have our service on Wednesday. Some people don't have a midweek service. Some people have it on Thursday. But the Bible's clear. I believe Sunday, I believe we ought to give some time to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I would say this. Don't you think it reasonable that we give the Lord at least one day of the week? I mean, the world exchange with us a paycheck for 6 days a week or 5 days a week, sometimes 60 hours, sometimes 70 hours. And they get a lot of our life. Education, no matter what kind of education you use, they get a lot of your life. And I would say that they'll never give you as much as the Lord Jesus Christ can give you. So why not just give him at least one day of the week? Amen. Set other things aside. Do everything you can to move those things out of the way. And, you know, just leave those things off so you can get to God. And the Bible says here that they came together. They made a choice. They came together. And if you look at the end of verse 7, they were still there at midnight. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, you guys spend too much time at church. I'd say I spent too much time in other places that didn't benefit me at all. Why not spend some time in God's house where I can get some benefit? Amen. I mean, you know, it doesn't say when they came together. It just says the first day of the week they came together. Did they come together in the morning? They come together in the afternoon? I mean, how long were they there? I know they were there at least until midnight. And, you know, I kind of like that idea. I don't want to lose my thought this morning, but, you know, there's so many people that do so many extreme things today. And, you know, they'll watch movies all night, or they'll go out and do something for all night. And why not go listen to preaching all night? How many of you think if we listened to preaching all night, it probably would help us? Right. I would say the condition of our country says we need more preaching, not less preaching. In fact, I would say this, we don't need more drama. We certainly don't need to remove the pulpits out of the country. We probably need to build some more pulpits and put them in the country. And all I'm just saying is this, listen, the Bible's clear. If you can be extreme for the world, why not be a little extreme for the Lord? And, you know, if you're here till midnight, that'll be all right. And I don't think we'll be here till midnight. So I just say this, I say that you'll never get as much from your family, your friends, yourself, your job, your employees, you'll get from the Lord. So they're gathered together. So the disciples are there. They're there. And then in verse number 8, the Bible says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Now, you know, that's unusual, that word upper chamber, very closely related to the word upper room. That's where the church met. They met in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. It's the same place, really, that Jesus met with his disciples, in that upper room. And that upper room, that's a place of prayer. That's a place where there's fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd say that, you know, the disciples are there, but another reason that it's good to come to the assembly is because Jesus is here. I heard somebody, I think it was one of Brother Camilleri's grandchildren, and they were saying, how come Jesus doesn't live in his house if this is his house? And so we began to explain, well, Jesus does live in his house. You just can't see him. And then we started talking about the wind and started talking about other things. I read in my Bible, the Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, that he promises to be in the midst. So can I say this morning? He's right here. How many of you came today to meet in his name, not just to impress somebody? Could you say amen? You came to meet the Lord. We're glad there are guests here today. Listen, I met this dear gentleman that lived in Athens, Alabama, all his family born and raised in Ardmore, Alabama, where I used to pastor. And at least I have one person today that needs no translation for what I say. We're glad that we have guests here. And when you have guests that come to Old Pass Baptist Church, you ought to go out of your way to make them know we're glad that you're here. But I'm going to tell you what you really ought to do. You ought to go extremely out of your way to make the Lord know, and we certainly are glad that you're here. Because if you filled the building and Jesus wasn't here, then that would really be all for nothing. But so that upper chamber, I believe that Jesus was there. It was a place to have some fellowship with him. And then when he says there are many lights there, you know, that's unusual. The reason I say this unusual, you know, in that day there was no electricity. So what does that mean? They had a lot of candles burning? I don't know. There was a time in this country you had the old lights and the new lights. And I understand that we're supposed to be reflective of Jesus Christ's light. We're the light of the world. Was it because the people that were in there? Perhaps. Maybe it was because of the truth that was in there. And I'd remind this church again this morning, all of us, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the what? How about we'll try it one more time? The pillar and ground of the what? This is the pillar and ground of the truth. And this book I hold in my hand, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know where the Bible is, you're going to always have light. Amen. That's why China does not want Bibles in China. I believe that China is almost as afraid of the Bible as they are afraid of our military. Because they eradicate religion, Christianity. They remove it in every way that they can. Oh, what have you got in here? Bibles. Oh, we can't let that in here. I mean, why are you so afraid of a book? I'll tell you why. Because there's real light on the inside of this book. Not imaginary. So there's lights inside this place. And here's Eutychus there. The young man is there. We're going to look at him in just a minute. But you've got God's people are there. Jesus is there. There's light there. Sounds like a place I'd like to be. Verse number 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Here's a young man. Falls asleep, falls three stories. The third loft, falls to his death. I was told about a man here that was proficient in either skydiving or something like that. And locally, He jumped out of a plane and he had a main parachute and he pulled that. That didn't work. He had a secondary parachute. He pulled that. That didn't work. And I think he was in his 30s and he fell to the earth and died. Okay. Eutychus, third story. Paul's long preaching and he falls asleep and he falls out of the window and falls to his death. And what I'd like to do in the next just 15 minutes is kind of say, okay, Eutychus is in a place where Jesus is. He's in a place where light is. And he's in a place where God's people is. But I don't think that he's really there. And I'm a little phrase I just want you to remember. You fall the direction you lean. You fall the direction you lean. You say, no, I'm going to fall opposite the direction I'm leaning. You're not going to fall opposite the direction you lean. You're going to fall the direction you lean. Doesn't matter how strong you are, how coordinated you are, how much balance you have. You start leaning one direction, you know what you're going to do? You're going to fall the direction you lean. Butch, you're pretty strong. Is Butch here? Brother Butch, you here? Come on up here for a second, Brother Butch. You fall the direction you lean. And Eutychus, even though he's inside the building, he's really not there. Come on, Brother Butch. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, come on up, Butch. Yeah, come on. Just a little illustration here. And no matter how you look at it, you fall the direction you lean. Eutychus is there, but he's leaning a certain direction. And you say, I don't think that that's true. Okay, come on up here, Brother Butch. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift, put one foot right here. I want you to lift the other foot like this. And then I want you just to lean a little bit forward until you feel, but don't lose your balance. Just stay right there. Can you do that? Okay, now you say, well, I'm still inside the church and I'm doing well and everything's good. All right, I'm guessing that this dear brother here could probably take me and wear me out if he wanted to. Yeah. But I want you to watch something. You watch something? You see my little pinky finger right here? Do you see that? Don't look at me like that, Butch. You fall the direction you lean. You say, no, I'm not going to fall that direction. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. I have this much spirituality. I'm in my body. I'm never going to fall that direction. You fall the direction that you lean. And I'm going to say you fall the direction you lean 100% of the time. Lean out that direction, Butch. Just lean out that. Lean as far as you can. No, leave the foot down. Lean out as far as you can. Lean out as far as you can. No, lean. All right, close your eyes. All right, now I want you to do this time. I want you to help me. Listen, I want you to lean as far as you can this way, but don't resist. Don't resist. Lean right there. Lean right there. Now pick up that foot again. Close your eyes. Lean forward. All right, I want you to try to fall backwards, all right? You can't do it. You're going to fall the direction that you lean. Dad, your family is going to fall the direction you're leaning. Mom, your family is going to fall the direction you're leaning. Young people, you're going to fall the direction you're leaning. Now, the question is, how are you leaning? Thank you, Brother Butch.
You're welcome, brother.
Appreciate that smile. Thank you, sir. So, how do I know which direction I'm leaning? Three things, real quick. Number one, look what Eutychus is doing. The Bible says in verse number 9, where was he sitting? Can you tell me? Come on. Where was he sitting? Sitting in the window. We don't have any windows in here. If you're sitting in a window, come on, you're sitting in a place really that wasn't designed for sitting, right? And if you're sitting in a window, let's just be honest. If you're sitting in a window, let's just pretend this door is the window. If you're sitting in this window, if you're sitting here, you are as far to the edge as you can possibly get. Your life is moved as far to the line as you can possibly get. You can't get any farther unless you fall out the window. And so many of us, what we do is there's a standard in the Bible. There's something we find there. And we come up to that point, and then what we do is this. We just try to walk right there on that edge. Well, my music is not really that bad, and my dress is not really that bad, and my friends are not really that bad. Why are you sitting in the window? That's the wrong place to sit. Come on, if you were to go, I don't know what the professional football teams are around here. We don't keep up with that. We just keep up with national championships down south. That's what we do. Looking for my brother. Where's my brother? Wherever he is. Amen. All right. Look, why not go ahead and get close to the center? There's back rows in here. Somebody's got to sit on them. And that's fine. Somebody's got to sit on the back row. Somebody has to. You have this many people. You can't have all front rows. You can't. But you know what I would do? If it were me, I would try to get as close to the front as I possibly can. Brother Tim, I want you to just go ahead. Thank you, sister. Brother Tim, here's what I want you to do right now. I just want you to do some facial gestures. Do whatever you want to do. Brother Quattro, just keep looking at me. All right? I'm just preaching. I'm teaching. Just wave your hand. Do whatever you want to do. Just see if you can get Brother Quattro's attention. But you're just listening to me. All right? And so Brother Quattro, he's here. He's on the front. He's on the second row. And I've seen this to happen. The message ends. Invitation time. Boom. People on the front row. Right to there. Brother Tim, you weren't really doing a whole lot of stuff this right here. But everybody behind him could see him doing that. Brother Matt of Charity, did you see that going on? Yeah, I had a friend of mine. He told me one time he was in a service, and this lady had one of those beehive hairdos. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? And he was sitting behind her, and he said, I was trying to pay attention, but there was a bug that was crawling in and out of all the holes in her hair. You don't have to worry about that when you're here. What you have to worry about here is something getting on you. You don't have to worry about that. And all I'm just saying is, I'm not trying to get everybody to move the front row. And if you're mad at me in the back row right now, why don't you just go ahead and get right with God, all right? I'm not preaching against you. I already said somebody's got to sit on the back row, all right? And look, and that doesn't mean they're more spiritual. Maybe they just need more help. And all I'm saying is, what you and I ought to do, we ought to try to move to the center. We ought to try to move to the front. You ought to try to move closer to God instead of getting on the edge of where everything's going on. You know, Eutychus was living on the edge. And so many Christians, they lived there thinking, I'll never fall. The other thing, if you look there, the Bible says he sat in a window. Why would you sit in a window? I mean, what? A window has a portal to look outside. Maybe one of the reasons you don't have windows in here is because you don't want anybody looking outside. Maybe you don't want anybody looking inside. But I do know this, if you're sitting in a window, you've got an opportunity to look out there. You pay a lot of extra money in a nice hotel. If you get the side, the window that faces the bay or whatever, that costs a whole lot more money. Because you've got a view. If you open the window and there's brick outside, they lower the price. So why is he sitting in the window? Maybe he's doing this. Maybe Paul's up there long preaching and he's not out there in the world, but he's just kind of looking at the world. He's not living in it, but he's just looking out there. He's watching the people go by. Maybe every now and then a casual glance up there. It happens in preaching. I'm sure that Brother Folk could attest to this. Pastor Camilleri, many others. I have preached enough that I'll see people during the service. Some, you know, they'll be doing other things. And, you know, you can tell they're just in a completely different world. They're kind of just out there. And then all of a sudden you say something and they kind of, I got you for a second or two and there it goes again. Really. I've watched it a number of times. And sometimes it's when you say something really sharp. Sometimes it's when you say something really loud. I taught Bible in high school for 1 year. And when it got really quiet, I think I told this here before, but when it would get really, you know, somebody would start to go to sleep or something like that, I would just kind of just keep talking like this in a monotone voice. And, you know, I would just say, and really what we need to be doing is paying attention to what's going on. Sometimes in preaching, and I don't do it on purpose. I don't do it on purpose. But sometimes in preaching, it's almost like if something sharp isn't said, nobody's going to turn their attention that way. If the illustration isn't heart-rending, then I'm just kind of in a fog there. I'm kind of looking out there. And I would add this to that. Looking out there, you know, you've got a lot of young children you've raised here differently than what the world raises their children to do. And you know, some of you, you're not out there, but you're looking. And you're thinking, what would it be like if I was out there? Well, I don't know. Why don't you check the divorce rate of the world that's over 50% when they find that person they thought they would find out there at the bar or wherever else, and you know what they end up finding out? It's not nearly as good as what it's spoken to be. You know, I think it's so true. So many times you see one side of drinking alcohol. Wow, what would it be like to hold that in my hand and I would be cool like that? No, you wouldn't be cool like that. People throw up their guts after being involved in that. Yeah. It's a false picture. They show you only one side. That's the reason I appreciate the Lord in the Bible. Aren't you glad you got a Bible that shows you both sides? God just shows you the truth. And what I'm saying is you look out there and you wonder how it would be. Listen. When you get to doing that, you're looking at the wrong picture. You know what I think is a better picture? The Bible says, keep your eye on the faithful of the land. You know the best place to put your eyes is on people that are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look out there. You know what's going on out there is going to burn up one day? Oh, I wish I had a house like that. No, you don't. You wouldn't want to clean a house like that. Man, I wish I had a car like that. No, you don't. You wouldn't want to pay the insurance, and you wouldn't want to park all the way at the end of Walmart so nobody scratched your car. I got a Bugatti. I got a Maserati. Ducati. Insurance here. And if you got one, amen, let me drive it. I'll smile at you. But, oh, if I had that, I would be happy. I heard our dear brother, Sirik, the other night, he said he stands outside that bar and people said, how come you're out here bothering us again? He said, how come you're back in the same place trying to find something you hadn't found yet again? Makes sense, doesn't it? There's no need to look out there, but he was looking out there. He's halfway in, halfway out. And that's going to end up taking you the wrong direction. And look what it says here also in verse number 9. He fell into a deep sleep. Hey, ladies, how many of your husbands know how to do that? Could you say amen? Fell into a deep sleep. You know, the guy that I was riding with on the plane here, he didn't want to have anything to do with my conversation. As soon as he sat down, I mean, earbuds went in before he even plugged it into his device. He's got them in. He plugs it in. I think, okay, didn't want to hear me. And then this guy, I have never sat beside somebody that snored so loud on a plane. So every now and then I would just touch him. Yes, ma'am, I'll have ice in that. Deep sleep. You know, when you get into a deep sleep, man, the lights are out. You might have all the lights on at home. Somebody's sleeping deeply, they're out. They're in darkness. It's over with. And that's exactly where Eutychus ended up. He ended up in a deep sleep. The lights got turned out. Bible says that he, being fallen into a deep sleep. Now, I looked that up in the Bible. You know the first time sleep occurs in the Bible, God calls it? Adam was put into a deep sleep by God, and God did an operation. You know, it's scary to me. This is a scary thought, and I'm not really trying to preach, I'm trying to teach, but it's a scary thought that God could turn your lights out. What if you sat and had the truth that the world knows nothing of, and you heard preaching like the world has never heard, and you heard people teach doctrine like the world has no idea about, and you just kind of keep looking out there, and you kind of keep staying on the edge, and you keep saying no, 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 and God says okay? What if He turned it out? We know God can open and close eyes. The Bible is so clear about that. And maybe Eutychus sitting over there, maybe he keeps looking out there and saying, oh, I wish I was out there. And, oh, I wish this guy would shut up. It's midnight, man. And, oh, look at that. Look at those. They're laughing. Look at that. That looks like so much fun. Good night. And God says, okay. Oh. I wouldn't want to tempt God that way. You know, it's kind of like ladies, how many of you take a measure of pride in putting a good home-cooked meal on the table? How many of you take? How many enjoy doing that? You enjoy doing that? How many of you men enjoy eating that? Okay. All right. Now, you know, if you come home and you say, "Oh, we're having that again," okay, we'll have something different tomorrow. Come in, you eat it, don't say anything, take off, and she's wondering, "Well, was that good? Was it bad?" Next day, have something different. Come in, eat it, take off, nothing said. Next day, something out there, don't even come to the table. We ring a bell at our house, ring, ring, ring. That means come to the table. Doesn't come to the table. Then finally says, "You know, I don't really like..." You know, how many of you ladies, if nobody ever appreciated your cooking and then started saying things like, "You know, I don't really like that, that's not good," how many of you would probably see if maybe there's some microwavables that might help somebody a little bit better? Your supper is on the table in the box. And look, we come in, and I'm telling you, listen, whether you believe it or not, old past, whether you believe it or not, you guys are eating some of the finest food that God has ever given to a people in an environment where His people are here, Jesus is here. Oh, come on. The Lord has been at this place. And you know what? If you start saying, "Nah, no, I don't want it, I'm not interested," and God said, "Okay, go feed yourself somewhere else." And you know what Eutychus does? Falls into deep sleep. And then the Bible says this. And I'll stop right here. The Bible says that he being fallen into a deep sleep as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep. That's the wrong direction. And fell down. You see that? Sunk down, fell down, and was taken up dead. That's the wrong direction. Now, I can hear somebody saying, "Well, it's Paul's fault. He preached a long time." Look, I know not all messages are entertaining. They shouldn't be. But I'm sure, how many of you think it would have been a blessing to hear Paul preach? Okay, maybe Eutychus makes it to heaven. You know, I'm going to meet him. "Hey, Eutychus, how you doing?" I'm doing good. "How do you know my name?" "Well, we know everybody's name here." Did you really fall asleep listening to Paul preach? That was my brother. No, I did. You mean you fell asleep listening to a guy that God used to write 13 books in the New Testament? What happened? Work all night? No, I was in the window. Now, I started out with a question. Which direction are you leaning? Are you in the window? Are you on the edge? Are you looking out there? Are you listening? Are you taking advantage of what God has given you? You young people of Old Paths Baptist Church, are you taking advantage of the opportunity? "Oh, I wish I could hear Paul preach." I can hear somebody. How long have you been here, Brother Folk? You've been here 52 years? No. I say, you've been here a long time. How long have you been pastoring here? 24 years. Joe, is that right? 24 years? Look, how many of you know their illustrations already? Would you raise your hand? How many of you know their stories? Would you raise your hand? How many of you ever heard them preach the same message? Would you raise your hand? How many are not going to raise your hand because you do not want to be incriminated? All right, no. Look, so you say, "Well, he's just not as entertaining as he used to be. Maybe it's just not as new as it used to be." You know, the new wears off even when you start reading your Bible. But I'm going to tell you what never wears off. The power never wears off of what's inside this. Take advantage of what you've been given. Because you're going to fall whichever direction you lean in. Which way are you leaning today? Where are you leaning, young man? All right. Lord, thank you for the privilege to teach this wonderful people, this church today. And thank you, Lord, for the people that are leaning the right direction. The parents that are straining with all of their might to try to cause their children to lean the same way. And I pray you'd help us to not fall down and slump down, but help us, Lord, to always be bending our heart upward and inclining our heart Lord, that you would enlarge our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.